The Holy Letters from the Rebbe, and this is in the volume 4, and this is in 940. Now, this doesn't have a date on here, and I'm not sure exactly. Oh, in the bottom it says the seventh day of Adar Sheni, Brooklyn, New York, but usually the date is on the top. Oh, wow, now I see why. Oh, I see. This is actually a letter of the Rebbe that appeared in the front of a pamphlet that the Rebbe published. So it's like, it's not just a letter to an individual. This is a letter that the Rebbe writes as an introduction to a book of discourses. So let's see what the Rebbe says over here.
So there's no number per se?
No, there's a number, and this is the number 940, but the date doesn't appear right at the top. It's not sending to somebody a date. The date is on the bottom, actually, at the end of the letter. The Rebbe says that the Torah that we touch, that we study, our Torah, all parts of the Torah are a living Torah and an eternal Torah. The Torah is eternal. I mean, a lot of people think it's change of time, so we have to adjust and things like that. Somebody said, you know, maybe you have to adapt, but not adjust. There's a difference between to adapt and to adjust, because the story goes, one of the they found out that there's a meltdown of the whole world is going to be flooded because the ice bergs and everything's going to flood. They're going to melt, and the global warming. 3 weeks. The world is going to come to an end. So what did each one do? So of course the Muslims, they went to their mosques to pray to Allah over there. The Christians went to their places of worship to pray for God, and to there, you know, the Americans went to the internet, to the New York Times, to figure out what to do over there. And the Jewish people said, what are they going to do? We've got to learn how to swim. We're not going to say, you know, the world changes, but we got to adapt to the change. We don't have to make any changes. You don't have to change the world. You just change. You adapt to the changes of the. You adapt to the changes of the world. So, but the Torah is therefore, the Torah is eternal, and therefore, because the Torah is eternal, all the instructions of the Torah, doesn't change. We adapt to the new circumstances, but we adapt the same Torah, the eternal Torah. And the previous Rebbe explained, my father-in-law, the Rebbe, says that what does it mean a living Torah? What does it mean the Torah is life? That Torah gives instructions in the daily life. In other words, before we were talking about not knowing what to do, but by and large, we can learn a instruction of how to live our lives from the Torah. This is also as individuals. So when we study the Parsha, we study the letter that we're reading today, we study the Tanya, the Yom Yom, whatever it is, we can sort of get a lesson for us in our personal lives, but how much more so in the life of us as a community. Many aspects of the Torah, which seemingly at the first glance, you can imagine that they really have no relevance, they have no practical application to our days or to our situation we find ourselves in. But after you contemplate and you look into the matter, you can find also some examples for your present situation. Sometimes it's in a very refined way, or sometimes in a very thick, in a gross way. But the learning from these matters that you study, a clear instruction and clear commands how to do in the positive, or also not what to do. And the Rebbe uses this as an introduction to the discourse that he's publishing. And he says, what does this discourse talk about? What is the essence of the, what is the crux, what is the main point of this maimer? Is that one must have self-sacrifice to observe Torah mitzvahs in actuality, which means not just in feel good in your heart, but to actually do, practice, come to shul, put the tefillin, do bench delich, do what you need to do in actuality. But especially, it's on the area of education. Education that you cannot take into account or give any room to the enemy. Who's the enemy? There's sometimes an open enemy, which is called the oyev, and sometimes there's what's called in Hebrew, an oyev is an open enemy. Sometimes there is a misnakim. Misnakim means somebody who is a hidden enemy, and he goes ahead and does various different kinds of manipulations in a way of revenge, which is outside of the rules. What he says like this. So basically, to stand in this case, he said, standing strong on the principles of educating your children in a dedicated and devoted way until sacrifice in the way of Torah, which we not to consider all the other influences that might be dragging you and pulling you to do otherwise. And he promises that these children who were, now, so we have to realize the setting of these letters. It was in 1951, there weren't yeshivas, there weren't so many, it was very few. Most of the people objected to kids going to the yeshivas. They said they're going to be growing up ignoramuses, they were going to be a burden on the society, they're going to be no good. So therefore, it took a lot of self-sacrifice in this case, which maybe perhaps today it's a big bill that you have to pay, but that's one level of sacrifice, but it's not so much something which ideologically, because all the religious communities have their religious schools and it's something we're taking for granted. But that wasn't so as when the Rebbe was thinking. So the previous Rebbe promises that those children who are going to continue to be children in their teacher's home, which means they're going to continue to be studying Torah, and they are going to, or they're going to be made now into children of their teacher's home. Notwithstanding all kinds of decrees and scare tactics and all the kinds of hardships that it's placed upon them. And also want to mention, this had also a lot to do with the people in the Soviet Union at the time, in which religion was totally prohibited. It wasn't prohibited so much for the older people, because they said that the older people, whatever they are, but they prohibited to teach it to the children under the guise that, you know, religion is something bad for you, and religion is something which is not to be practiced. You shouldn't teach it to the children. And they were okay with the better. So this was something that the Rebbe had Mesiris Nefesh. And my father, you know, please God, was, you know, may he rest in peace, was part of that army of the Rebbe helping create this underground yeshivas to continue the Jewish traditions. So the Rebbe says, eventually, these children, when they study and their education, that is what's going to get rid, that is going to destroy the enemy and those who are plotting against the Jewish people, against all this. And on the contrary, the Rebbe says, this standing strong with self-sacrifice is going to merit them for redemption. There is a modern level of self-sacrifice, which can I add? Today you have a lot of young people that were educated in the public schools, they were educated in the colleges, they have lived modern lives, and then they find fulfillment in their Judaism. They go back to their roots, and they find their fulfillment, they find their journeys, and they go back, and they embrace this kind of life. And it's a tremendous sacrifice for these people to stay strong, because they weren't raised like that. It wasn't their ideas, and they nevertheless give up everything that was important to them, and they went through the system and the American dream, and the got educated, and they have good jobs, and they have a bright future in making a lot of money and having all the pleasures, and to give all that up and live a different, in a way, a more modest, more lifestyle of a home lifestyle with just a family, raising kids, sending them to, you know, real yeshivas, and where they study mostly, religious education. That's a tremendous sacrifice. A modern, it's not, nobody's going to kill you, but that's a modern sacrifice.
Is that what they call Baal Teshuva?
A lot of times, yes, right. The Baal Teshuva.
Someone told me, I forget about that, like, they're supposed to be honored more or even respected more because of the sacrifice, like...
Absolutely.
You know what's the thing?
The Makom Shebaal...
FFB, Froom from Birth, you know?
Oh, he knows all this lingo, too.
Right.
He knows the FFBs. Sort of, and what is the other one? What is the Baal Teshuva called? A BT. BT is Baal Teshuva. That's FFB stands for from birth. So for FFBs and BTs, that's the lingo.
There were people who still keep their jobs and are observant. So
no, I didn't say that. No, I was saying that. No, but I was talking mostly about educating their children. Mm. Maybe they had their own education. They went through education and they saw how, you know, their education got them to landed them a good job or landed them success financially. And yet, for their children, they choose not to go through that same system that they went through. And they choose, and these are completely normal American, like you would say, you know, what did I do to deserve this? How did my kids get involved in this, you know? I mean, I'm just, how come my neighbor next door, I mean, I'm just as normal as me. We talked about it. We're saying one of the things is there is the reveal part, and then you have the inner part. The reveal part of the reveal part of us may be satisfied, but our inside, a lot of times we don't feel fulfilled. We need something else to fulfill our lives, and just the American dream doesn't do it. Yeah, go ahead.
So my kids, as you all know, are the classic Baal Teshuva.
Right, my in-laws, yeah. Too. My in-laws.
Uh-huh.
And so they were two yuppies in California, Westlake Village. He's a movie producer. She's a high-end CPA. And it took them a few years before they had their first child, because they had to save the first house and all this kind of stuff before she was going to leave. You know, give up her six-figure job and all this kind of thing, have children. And around the same time that they had their first child, Chaim, they started realizing that, they came to a conclusion, how are we going to bring up our children? They could not, they hated the materialism of California and all of that. And they're looking for something in Judaism. They realized they didn't know anyone. You know, unfortunately, they grew up in a reform movement, but the Jewish schools, and I think in the Reforming, they were moving to the Jewish picture, and they felt like they didn't know anything, and they got involved with the Chabad community in Westlake, and you know, the rest is history. But he was able to retain, he stayed in the movie business for a lot of years, and then he migrated from that into real estate, but he still makes a lot of money, but he uses the money for good purposes. I mean, obviously for his family, but he's very
charity.
Very, I mean, large donations. I mean, he's using it to fulfill that part of his. But he felt, you know, yeah, he had a kind of they had to reinvent themselves. It was very interesting. We talked about this quite a bit.
And what the point? But here, this particular point is, they want for their children something else. They are keeping them in a sheltered environment. They're not going to give them what they went through and hope that they're going to find themselves. They're going to guide their children to go in this direction.
Well,
and
my in-laws, same thing. They belong to Temple Israel, and then I don't know what this what they decided to become Orthodox.
What possessed them?
Right, right. And the kids had a problem because they weren't little kids, they were teenagers. So suddenly, like, my wife is not going to Sharon High, she's going to Maimonides. So that's a huge change. And some of the kids of my in-laws became very religious, like my brother-in-law's in Israel and my sister-in-law's in Queens, you know, and we're in Sharon. But they, when they became Baal Tshuva, they said, we're going to do it all the way or nothing.
Exactly.
So they don't, there's no compromise. There's no cover. Like, it's snowing, and my father-in-law's walking to shul.
In that blizzard.
In the blizzard, he's walking, and I'm like, are you crazy? And he's like, no, we got to go to the minyan or whatever. Or he does daf yomi every day. So I'm just saying, a lot of people who do it, they go all the way. You know?
Yeah, but the point here, I want to just finish the letter. But the point that I'm trying to make over here is, it's mostly with regards to the children, the modern day self-sacrifice, which is for the children. There's one thing, sometimes you want to sacrifice your own self, but then to go ahead and sacrifice your children. I was, to me, one of the big sacrifices, you know, you have a large family, you got to pay a lot of tuitions, you know. What, I was gone? So anyways, so I, yeah, so I spoke to the rabbi, one of the rabbis. He wants a whole bundle of money for tuition. I said to him, well, but you don't teach the kids a profession, so they should be able to pay you the money. So how do you expect people to pay you the money if you don't teach them? No, I wasn't being serious. I was just trying to say, charge a little less and try to raise your money elsewhere, because you're this lifestyle is not sustainable if it's going to be that expensive. If you're going to want the people to continue doing that, the money has to come from somewhere. And the answer is, it's your problem. You know,
right,
and you find out very quickly. Well, if you have a problem, it's your problem. Well, you got to deal with it. Nobody's going to answer your problem.
I always look at you and I go, how does he do it? You
know? I don't know. See, but that's the answer.
How do you do it?
And the answer is,
you're not buying iPods and iPhone.
Only what's necessary for the class, I do.
Right, you're not shopping. You know, no, like this.
We don't go out to eat, no. No, we don't go on vacations, no.
Right.
So yeah, but I end up going. I end up to the bris and to.
Weddings, bris. But I always wonder, how does Rabbi. Like, we struggle with two kids who want to go to Israel and want camp and this and that. I'm like, how do you do it?
You're talking about the financial aspect. And when I go to my children's house, and I see 4, 5, 6 children, or Mr. Jacobs will tell you 7, 8, 9 children, and I say, how did these guys handling all this, you know? Right. Just the noise and the amount of attention that you have to have just to have everybody. And guess what? My wife says to me, well, you did it yourself. You forgot. I said, I can't believe it. It was happening. When I went to the Jacob's house over there, I said, how does Shlomo and Leah do it? I said, I just can't believe it. My wife said, why are you surprised? I forgot already. Somehow, but that's the best proof that it works.
Yeah.
You don't know how, but it works. You make it work, and it works. It's like we said before.
Right.
If you're underwater, you know, we learn how to swim.
Right.
You know,
but the kids help bring up the kids, and that's all family.
But the other thing is, you're a dugma. You're an example to the kids. So when they start up young, like even in Chabad, you are the example that they follow. So
I hope so. I always have a day, I'll do. Let me just finish this letter and we'll call it a day.
See ya.
Okay, so now he says like this. So he just says, this will actually bring about the redemption. This Mesiras Nefesh. Also today, oh, here the Rebbe's going to bring the analogy to today. There are those that are maybe open enemies, or there are various different kinds of manipulative trickery, indirect ways, but they want to take, their intention is to take charge of these children. And what is their purpose? What they want to say, they says, look, if they ain't going to be little children, they won't be adults. If there is no students, there will be no wisdom, there's no Torah, there's no Hashem, and Hashem would not make His divine in here. So they really, eventually, it eradicates Hashem's presence in the world without these children, without bringing the next generation, educating them. We don't have a future. So just like then, we are been promised that if we have self-sacrifice, we stand fearlessly by observing the Torah and mitzvahs, especially as far as education goes, so then all kinds of tricks and all kinds of decrees to try to eliminate Torah from the Jewish people, to push them away from Hashem, it will not help them. These children will grow up, they'll be proud, they'll be the sign, they'll be the flag of Judaism and the foundation that all your people will be righteous. The strength and the power of Mesiras Nefesh has the ability to bring us the merit, the complete and true redemption that is going to come very quickly through Mashiach Tzadkenu. And this is signed by the Rebbe in Zion Adar Sheni. And then there's several footnotes here we're going to leave for another time.